In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, we're going to be looking at the Passion narrative, which in its starts in chapter 14 in Mark's Gospel, and goes through also into 15. So, the text starts here. It was the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. They're the same, different names for different aspects of the feast. And after 2 days, and the high priests and scribes were looking for how they might lay hold of him by deceit and kill him. For they were saying, not on the feast, lest there be a riot of the people. That's why they were the four, and they were saying, is because now with this huge crowd in Jerusalem, thousands of pilgrims, some of whom would have a lot of liking and admiration for Jesus, this is not a good time to try to arrest him. But there will be a time. But so those first verses there, set the stage. We want to get a hold of him by stealth and then kill him, or by deceit. It's the same. And so now, and when he was in Bethany, now I've done this before, here's Jerusalem, here's the Mount of Olives, and there's Bethany over there. So when he was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, now this must be a Simon with some skin disease that's called leprosy, may have been, may not have been, but he must be over it, or he wouldn't be in society with everybody else. And he's in the house, and he was reclining. And a woman came in, having an alabaster jar of perfumed ointment, made of genuine, very expensive spikenard. This woman came in. In other traditions, this is Mary, the sister of Simon, in whose house Jesus is. If we can conflate all the different information we have about this family in Bethany, where Jesus often stays. Okay? Now, breaking the jar open, she poured it over his head. Some were indignant among themselves, for what did this waste of common ointment take place? This ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii, which is about a year's wages, had been given to the poor. And they let her know that they were angry with her, very angry with her. Now, you have the scene. People recline at big banquets, so it looks as though they've already begun the banquet. And then the woman comes in. Mark just says it's a woman. And has this alabaster, which is a beautiful jar, you see, of perfumed ointment made of genuine, very expensive spikenard. Now she breaks the jar, so it can't be too strong enough to carry the perfume. And she breaks the jar, and then she pours it over his head. she's anointing him as king. Now his kingship takes the root of the cross, but she's anointing him as Mashiach, which means anointed one, Christos, which comes like chrism comes from that word in English. So he's the Christos, he's the anointed one. And this is just a sign of it, acknowledging that God has anointed him. And she poured it over his head. Now this was an extraordinary gesture, to be in the middle of a banquet and have Jesus anointed like this, you see. For what did this waste of ointment take place? This ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and been given to the poor. And they let her know, they were very angry with her. But Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Why are you making trouble for her? She has carried out a good work," and that's a very technical phrase, kalon ergon, good work. Anoint, bury this dead, give the alms to the poor. These are good works. She carried out a good work in my regard. For you always have the poor with you, and whenever you wish, you can do good to them. Hinting, you probably don't do that very often. But me, you do not have always. What she could do, she did. She anticipated the anointing of my body for burial. Amen, I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in all the world, what she has done will be told in memory of her. And that prophecy was just fulfilled now. I just told you, in memory of this woman, what she did on this night, which begins here. What she has done will be told in memory of her. Now, there's a text already in 13:10 where this notion of the preaching of the gospel is mentioned. I'll read it for you, see what I mean. Watch for yourself. This is our Lord's advice to the future apostles. They will hand you over to synagogues and Sanhedrins. They will beat you. They will draw you before kings and make you stand there as a witness to them, the kings. And out to every nation, first the gospel must be preached. And when they drag you, draw you, handing you over, don't worry about what you're going to say. And so, this is the, our Lord is saying, when all this happens, and I'm killed, this extraordinary recognition of who Jesus is, anointing him with this very precious perfume, and it says, you see, breaking the jar open. You don't usually have to do that in these little jars, but she wants to break it so that it's irrevocable. And everything in that jar is poured out on Jesus. And that's her life. And it should be our life. You see? They get pretty upset. It does in some of the other Gospels, it implies, it doesn't say it's Judas. It just says they. Some were indignant among themselves. For what did this waste of ointment take place? Why did she do this? Broke it so you can't even use it again, and then pour it all out over him. And John says, of course, that the house was filled with the radiance. The house there means the church, because this gesture still fills the church with radiance and fragrance. And they let her know they were angry with her. But Jesus said, leave her alone. Why are you making trouble for her? She has carried out a kalonergon, you see, a good work. And there's a list of these good works, you know. You know, like when Matthew says there in the gospel, do your good works before men in such a way that they'll glorify your Father. Feeding the poor, burying the dead, visiting the sick, these are all good works. Our Lord says, this is a good work. Why? Because she anticipated the anointing of my body for burial. And that is a prophecy. Maybe she didn't know this, but she's preparing him for burial by just pouring out this oil, this ointment. Amen, I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in all the world, what she has done will be told in memory of her, and we just fulfilled that prophecy one more time. One more time, what she has done is being told in memory of her, even as we're commenting on this text. Such generosity, such love, and maybe such intuition. She's done it for my burial. She might know, just intuitively, that coming into Jerusalem with the leaders hating him and trying to kill him, that she's anointing him for his burial. Or maybe she doesn't, and she's just HaMashiach, the Anointed One, and she's recognizing that the Holy Spirit has already anointed him, and she pours out this very beautiful and expensive ointment or oil all over him. And it's an act of love. She poured out all she had. This is generosity. You remember the story of the woman who put in just two coins in the temple. And our Lord said, she gave of her substance, you give of your surplus. Give of your substance. That's a message for us as disciples, to give of our substance. And so, and then, wherever the gospel is preached in all the world, what she has done will be told in memory of her, which is exactly what we're doing. We're fulfilling once again this prophecy that what she has done is being told now in memory of her, whoever she is. Now, whether that was the last straw or whether he had always thought of doing this at this point, we don't know. But right away, the text says, and Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, everybody makes this point, he was one of the 12 hand-picked by Jesus. And he went off to the high priests in order to hand him over to them. Now this word will come over and over again, and it's the technical word for the whole passion process, paradidome, to hand over. We have that beautiful text in Galatians. The life I live now, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and handed himself over for me. It's a technical word, in other words. And we start using it here now twice, once in verse 10 and once in verse 11. He went over to the high priest in order to hand him over to them, and when they heard it, they rejoiced, and they promised to give him money. And he was looking for how he might hand him over opportunity. And we'll stop there and pick it up right after that.